Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, the Secret Service Director finally just now resigned, apparently, or announced intention to resign. Only about a week late, as Tim in Billings messaged me on the Montana Talks app just a few minutes ago. But that's the big news breaking right now. Before we get into the big national news and your phone calls and more, because we've got the phone lines open for the full hour here, there's just a question I want to throw out there. It's similar to a question I threw out last week. You know, here we have infrastructure failing across this country, across Montana. We had the St. Mary siphon failure again. And what have we been told? Okay, they're going to fund a permanent replacement by the end of next summer is what they're estimating. But a temporary replacement, a temporary fix is too expensive. Too expensive. Yeah, because, see, it would cost $20,000 a day to run that temporary replacement. And I was sitting here thinking, wait a minute, $20,000 a day is too expensive for the most important infrastructure project to Montana's High Line? It's the lifeline of the High Line. The Biden-Harris regime, the Biden-Harris tester regime, and remember, Kamala Harris is the border czar, they're spending $500,000 a day or more now, because it's 2 years after we got these numbers. They were spending $500,000 a day to operate one migrant shelter alone on the southern border. And we know there's more than one migrant shelter on the southern border. So they'll spend $500,000 a day to give your money to illegal aliens, but $20,000 a day is too much. There's a similar question that I have today. So the big floods that hit Montana, what was that, 2 years ago? Remember the massive floods, wiped out infrastructure, bridges, you name it. How come some of those bridges still haven't been put back in place? 2 years after the fact, 2 years after, I don't know if you guys read this story, just a sad, tragic story. He just finished up a year of studies at Montana State University. A hiker who has been missing was just identified a few days ago, but the search for this hiker continues. Apparently, he fell into the water. This is up on the East Rosebud. He fell into the water because the bridge was out, so he was trying to cross the river with a log, with a fallen log instead of a bridge, because the bridge is not there. And anyway, I just had this question. Why is the bridge not there? Why hasn't the bridge? We've had massive amounts of government spending at the federal level in the last 2 years. They're giving all your money to all these illegal aliens and all these other countries, and you can't even build a simple little trail bridge? I mean, anyway, it's just another question. 464.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, we've got the phone lines open for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about here on Montana Talks. Obviously, there's a lot to talk about here on this Tuesday. 406-294-0970. Or you can also send us a message on the Montana Talks app as well. Over the weekend, my wife and I got to do a little getaway, a little kind of retreat, if you want to call it that. And we went up hiking and hanging out in the Absarokee area. And so we thought, hey, let's go for a hike up to Woodbine Falls. Some of you have probably done this hike before to the waterfalls, Woodbine to Woodbine Falls. It's just past where the Stillwater Mine is. And you remember 2 years ago, that whole area just got devastated by the massive floods 2 years ago. In fact, search and rescue crews had to go rescue campers from the Woodbine campground. And so anyway, so we get up to the trail, and then you see the signs, bridge out, bridge out, bridge out ahead. And so we continue hiking up the trail, and there was an older gentleman, here, use this walking stick. You might need that to cross the water up ahead. And then you get to the point where you see a gigantic log over the stream instead of a bridge that used to be there. And so now the water is much lower right now, so it's not too far of a crossing, but still, I think there were some people who were like, yeah, we're not going to try that. Well, my wife and I, you know, you can, you know, I walked across, and it wasn't the most the best walk across. She kind of shimmied across, and so anyway, that's what you have to do to get up to the top of the trail to get that picturesque scenic view of Woodbine Falls. And so Sunday when I got back to the house, so that's when I like to get a start on the week ahead, do my show prep, get a couple stories on our Montana Talks website, you name it. And so I wrote a story, hey, the bridge is out, but you can still reach Woodbine Falls in Montana. And shared some photographs from the hike and as well, right? And, it was kind of a Montana weekend. Well, I was familiar with this news story about the missing hiker, a young Montana State University student who we now know is from Minnesota, who was missing, who slipped and fell on a hike. But I wasn't familiar with the fact that he slipped into the river, that he slipped into the river after attempting to cross. This was in a totally different area, by the way, with totally separate drainage, etc. But according to the Billings Gazette, this young MSU student and a friend were hiking along the beaten path, a 26-mile trail that leads from the East Rosebud Trailhead and ends just a few miles outside of Cook City. The two were crossing over the outlet for Rimrock Lake when he went into the water. And you can tell by the photos, the water at this location, much more water, much more dangerous water than the location where we had crossed, you know, further down the mountains, down at Woodbine. But man, it just really, I started thinking, because in 2022, that's when the floods had destroyed the bridge that crossed over East Rosebud Creek at the bottom of the lake. And that just got me thinking. It's like, okay, first off, it's another important reminder to be, you know, yeah, we all can have fun and talk about, you know, hey, here's how we got to Woodbine Falls, even though the bridge was out. But then you hear this tragic story, and it's like, oh, it's just gut-wrenching. But I started thinking about that. I'm like, okay, so my wife and I go for a nice hike, and the bridge is out, so we cross the log to get to the waterfalls, and I see the waterfall, and then after the fact, I read the details that this young student went missing for crossing, trying to use a log to cross a creek, and then now is missing, and in both instances, the bridges were apparently wiped out a couple of years ago, and I'm just sitting there thinking, why are we 2 years later? I mean, this isn't like the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's a bridge over a creek. Why is this that hard to get those bridges replaced, to get these bridges put in place? You know what I'm saying? And to me, it's just like another slap in the face that here we are. We're $35 trillion in debt. Our money is going to all these other countries. Our money is going to these illegal aliens. And in multiple ways, multiple times over. And yet, just simple things like a freaking bridge over a freaking creek can't be put up. I sent a note to the forest officials, and I'm sure they want to get it built there. You know, again, it's kind of like the St. Mary siphon failure. It comes down to priorities out of Washington. It comes down to bureaucracy, and it comes down to red tape. And the people on the ground, as good-hearted and well as intentioned they may be, It comes down to priorities and resourcing out of Washington, D.C. And frankly, we are not the priority. We are not getting the resourcing. Just like Donald J. Trump and his security team did not get the resourcing that he needed and that they needed to prevent the assassination attempt on his life. That is what is happening right now under this regime, under the Biden-Kamala tester regime. You are not the priority. They've got VA claims workers that are helping illegal aliens process claims. So, I don't know, like, for the people who are really excited about Kamala Harris being the Democrat Party's potential presidential nominee, well, why? What are you excited? She's the border czar. She is responsible for these failures just as much as Joe Biden and John Tester are.
Taking your calls live, 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, real quick here, and then I'm going to jump right into the phone lines. By the way, Ryan in Belgrade, I think we lost your call, so call us back if you want to be on the show. We definitely want to hear from you. Fox News just sent out this alert. So I mentioned a few minutes ago how the Secret Service director is finally stepping down after her failures and then her lies and more over the past week. And I think what finally forced it is even some of the Democrats on the House committee were calling for her to resign. They're calling this a stunning statement. Joe Biden praises the outgoing Secret Service director after not firing her. Now, did we see video of Joe Biden praising her, or is this another one of those statements from the beach house? Because have we seen him even on camera yet? Who knows? Into the phone lines we go. She's calling in from Eastern Montana. I've seen her tweeting on X. She goes by the name Tester Will Not Be Elected. Hey, thanks for the phone call. What's on your mind this morning?
Good morning, Aaron in Montana. Thanks to our veterans and my gratitude to our fallen heroes. Excuse me, Aaron. I've been following a story regarding the child trafficking happening at our southern border. Although this isn't just a Senator John Tester who was involved, we've got our border czar Kamala Harris. I find it crucially important for Montana to be informed on what is happening right under our nose in our country. Human smugglers are bringing children into our country, passing them off to a non-government organization called Cherokee Federal, contracted out by our government's Health and Human Services. These children are given to gang members and unvetted adults embedded in our country. These children have become victims of sex crimes, child labor, and organ harvesting. Now, I know this is a very heavy subject this morning, and I'm really not here to, like, ruin anyone's day or vibe, but this must be reported because this ties into Montana politics. Because, Aaron, number one, we would be naive to think that, you know, number one, some of these children aren't here in our state. Number two, that Senator Tester's policies aren't perpetuating these heinous crimes. And number three, that electing the same administration will provide different results. So as I continue to follow and report on this story, I would like to urge your listeners, if you see something, say something. Our Governor Gianforte and Attorney General Austin Knutson have been doing a fabulous job combating this problem and documenting it. But please contact law enforcement or their offices if you see these crimes. And just one other topic very quickly, if I may, Aaron. An article was dropped yesterday in regards to the $15 billion shortfall at the VA. It's worth noting because this is complete and utter mismanagement by Senator John Tester.
Yeah, that's right. Then you had millions of dollars in bonuses that went to these failed VA officials. And wait times are worse again, especially if you need to get urgent medical care. He's been chipping away at the Mission Act that Donald Trump forced him to support before his last election. A failure on many fronts. Thanks so much for the phone call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970 if you want to jump in on the conversation here. Let's see. With regard to the missing children, what was it? 85,000 kids had gone missing because of this human trafficking operation that our federal government has been a part of on our southern border. This is why President Trump mandated DNA testing on our southern border. Because traffickers were bringing children, were trafficking children across our southern border. They're not just trafficking meth and fentanyl across our southern border. They were trafficking kids across. They are, still are, trafficking children across our southern border. Remember when Donald Trump was in Great Falls, Montana at a rally, he was joking around. He was mocking Senator Elizabeth Warren, who lied about being Native American. And he called on her to take a DNA test. And you remember, she attacked Donald Trump because she said how awful it was that Donald Trump was DNA testing children on the southern border. And so, of course, Joe Biden and border czar Kamala Harris did away with DNA testing of children on the border. Well, why would you DNA test these kids? Because if that guy that is traveling with that little girl or that little boy claims that he's the father or the uncle, a simple DNA test would kind of clear things up, wouldn't it? So it was to protect these kids. And Kamala Harris, border czar Kamala Harris, removed those protections for those kids. I mean, it's just shocking. But in this administration, you fail upwards. And so she now gets to fail up to being their likely presidential nominee now without any votes, yet until their hand-chosen party elites get a chance to have a say. 25 people in Montana will get to vote and decide who their presidential nominee will be now. All right, let's see. Who do we got next up on the phone lines? Let's see. We've got Big Jim. Big Jim in Bozeman, thanks for the call. What's on your mind?
Hi, this is Big Jim. I'm from Okita, Illinois, but right now I'm in the villages in downtown Bozeman. When I came back from Vietnam, I was welcomed by my family and my friends. But when I look back on those years, it was the American Legion and the VFW that really didn't accept us. I think they kind of thought we were losers, that we'd lost our war, and we weren't really accepted. I was proud to become a member of the Vietnam Veterans of America. And what I like about them is their main statement is never let an American serviceman go unhonored. And I think they have really pushed honoring all veterans of all wars. So I appreciate what they've done. And I think Vietnam veterans are always appreciated to our fellow soldiers, whatever war. Also, I'd just like to say my shirt sleeve relative, a gentleman by the name of Matt Baker, he joined the Army Reserves when he was a senior in high school, was an enlistment all during his college, and paid for by the Reserves, got out, went to OCS, got his ticket punched in Iraq and Afghanistan and in Kuwait, and this weekend he retired as a two-star general in charge of the National Guard for all the way from Illinois to Fort Snelling, Fort McCoy, and also Montana. I think he's had an excellent career starting on a list of men and then wearing two stars.
You know, it's so tragic when you talk about that, Big Jim, that your fellow veterans, it was in some cases your fellow veterans that were attacking the Vietnam veterans, or at least not welcoming as they should be to the Vietnam veterans when they came home. I mean, I guess we shouldn't be shocked that some drugged up, peacenik, whatever, in San Francisco was was shamefully treating our Vietnam veterans. But to hear that your fellow veterans, you know, that's one of the things, like in this U.S. Senate race, from my standpoint here is, look, I get it. There's fellow veterans out there that are Democrats, and they like Kamala Harris, and they like Joe Biden, and they like John Tester, and they don't care if John Tester's opponent is a veteran or not. They're Democrats. They're going to vote for Democrats. I get that, right? And I respect our fellow veterans, no matter which party they belong to, and no matter what they did. You don't have to be a Navy SEAL or a Green Beret, right? I don't care if you were the guy passing out gym towels in Iraq. We had a little old guy in Ramadi, Iraq, that's pretty much, I think he was just so up there in years, but he wanted to be there with his soldiers, that his job was to pass out gym towels at the gym. And you know what? God bless that guy, right? But when I see one of these guys in these attack ads against Navy SEAL veteran Tim Sheehy is a guy in Helena who, did he finally get a deployment in after 20 plus years? For 20 years, this guy was sitting in Helena watching, you know, soldiers that he outranked go on a deployment, come back from a deployment, go on a deployment, come back from a deployment. And he was just sitting there hiding out. And yet he has the gall to attack Tim Sheehy, who's got a Bronze Star for Valor. And so, again, like, you're a liberal Democrat, I get it. Hey, thanks for your service, regardless. But then if you shirk your duty and you dodge deployments, and then you got the nerve to attack those who have gone over there, pathetic, if you ask me. Big Jim, your thoughts. Are you still there?
Yeah, I agree with you. And I'll tell you, I agree with you. I'm an election judge, and the people who I get upset about, not the Biden people, but it's the people who don't vote or don't register to vote. I respect when I'm an election judge, I respect and encourage all Biden people to vote. That's their right. But it's the gentleman that doesn't vote or tells you he's going to vote that doesn't vote. Those are the people that get me upset.
All right. Well, Big Jim, thanks for your service. Thanks for the call. Let's see. Let's go next to Ken in Billings. Ken, thanks for the call.
Thank you very kindly. You know, I got to say a couple of things. Number one, I've been a Trump fan ever since he got elected, and I fly a Trump flag all the time. And two, the other thing is, for the fellas that came back from Vietnam or from any war, for them to be ridiculed, spit on, and made fun out of everything else, I think that every American should be appalled at that, because they got to sit home, and they got to eat a steak and drink a beer and make love to their wives, and these guys are out there putting their life on the line. Mm-hmm. Now, how can you do that? Now, I didn't serve in the military, because I got rejected because of my eyesight. But I did one honorable thing that a man told me, because I went to work for Grumman Aircraft, and I built all the A-6s that went to Vietnam. And I was proud of that.
Proud to support those who were on the front lines. The Montana Democrats thanked Joe Biden for his service. Why don't they thank Tim Sheehy and Carmen for their service?
This is where Montana talks at with Lane Nordland.
The U.S. has made a strong case under the U.S.-Mexico-Canada trade agreement in the dispute with Mexico over genetically engineered corn. Doug McAuliffe, chief agriculture negotiator at the U.S. Trade Representative's office, spoke during a recent National Corn Growers Congress in Washington, and he said that they will not rest on the issue until we get it done. He said it's critically important not just for corn growers, but farmers of all kinds. If they can do it with corn, they can do it with anything. He also said the U.S. cannot allow its trading partners to play fast and loose with the science. Both U.S. and Mexican officials were also given questions by the panel considering the matter, and both have responded. A decision is expected sometime this fall on the trade dispute. Looking to news here in the Big Sky State, 3% of the state's winter wheat crop has been harvested. That is a bit behind the five-year average of 7%, but I assume that's going to pick up steam here in just a few days. As for the winter wheat condition rating, 12% of the crop remains excellent, 35% good, 47% fair, and 6% of the crop rated poor. As for spring wheat, the crop's still looking pretty good with 5% rated excellent, 71% good, 19% fair, and 5% poor. I'm Lane Northland. Have a great day.
Joe Biden is withdrawing from the 2024 presidential race, and now Montana Republicans like Steve Daines and Tim Sheehy are calling for Biden to step down from the presidency altogether. Here's the deal. If Joe Biden is unfit to serve as a presidential candidate, then Joe Biden is unfit to serve as president of the United States. We've got more of that story, plus liberal Senator John Tester still hiding. MontanaTalks.com for that and more.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana statewide. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Boy, I tell you what, if you are headed to the Summer Olympics, well, first off, watch your back because of mass migration into Europe. It's a lot more dangerous now. But pack some protein. I'll tell you what, pack some beef jerky, pack some snacks, sticks, whatever. You know, because, man, you're going to need it. Because apparently, especially if you're one of these Olympic athletes, they're forcing a reduction in red meat, in particular, at the Summer Olympics. What a sham. By the way, are they still taking away their air conditioning as well? I heard Rachel Gable this morning on Russell Nimitz's Daybreak Ag Report, and it's like, wow. They are literally targeting red meat consumption. What is Kamala Harris? Is she running the Olympics now, too? Did they put her in charge of the Olympics? Because, as you heard me mention yesterday, she believes we all should lower our red meat consumption.
Let's take it from our own words. Let's do it that way. There's Kamala.
So, again, back to the United States Congress. Here's my point. If they fail to act as President of the United States, I am prepared to get rid of the filibuster to pass a Green New Deal.
We have to have a secure border, but I am in favor of saying that we're not going to treat people who are undocumented across the border as criminals. That's correct. That is correct.
Will you commit to implementing a federal ban on fracking your first day in office, adding the United States to the list of countries who have banned this devastating practice?
There's no question I'm in favor of banning fracking.
But would you support changing the dietary guidelines?
Yes.
You know, the food pyramid. But people
yes.
Are,
yes.
To reduce red meat specifically.
Yes, I would.
And plastic straws are a big thing right now.
Yeah.
Do you ban plastic straws?
I think we should. Yes.
There you go. That's the montage that Sean Hannity had on his program last night. And this is who, without a vote, they are propelling to the top to be their presidential nominee. But yeah, what is she in charge of the Olympics now? Rachel Gable, in this report this morning where she was talking about how they're going to force a reduction in red meat consumption at the Summer Olympics, she made a very good point. She made a very good point. According to studies, beef plays a role in a healthy diet by providing more nutrients and fewer calories to consume the same amount of protein. An Olympic athlete would have to eat 6 tablespoons of peanut butter, which, you know, peanut butter is good, but it also has a lot of fat. It's got a little bit of protein, but a lot of fat, right? Or 3 cups of quinoa. So that's what you would have to take to replace good old American, good old Montana beef. But in the name of climate change, they're going to force these guys to eat less red meat. I'm telling you. So if you're anybody who is thinking of voting for John Tester and Kamala Harris, well, be prepared for what you're going to have to swallow. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Renee in Butte, listening to KXTL. Thanks for the phone call. What's on your mind?
Yes, Aaron, I have a question for you about the last lady call about human trafficking.
Yeah.
I'd like to know, what are some of the signs that the public can look for? And I'd like to see some awareness training for the people in the public, including gas stations, people that work at gas stations, and people traveling through, know, or signs on the bathroom walls or whatever. But people need to be made more aware of this, and I think we need some awareness training that's free.
Well, actually, there is. I know they've had exactly what you just mentioned. I think now you're in Butte. I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think Town Pump was a big supporter of those types of efforts. I know the Montana Department of Justice vis-a-vis Attorney General Austin Knutson. In fact, back in January of this year, he sent out a press release. I believe we had a story about this on our Montana Talks website where folks can, you know, learn the signs of human trafficking. But I get where you're coming from, like some sort of a radio campaign, where people are reminded of what, you know, it's one thing to have it on a website. It's one thing to tell people about it. But, you know, it's kind of like the reason why there is a such thing as radio advertising is because if you just hear something once, it might go in one ear, out the other. You have to hear a message repeatedly to truly soak it in, right?
Right, right, and I never heard of the training, so I missed that.
Yeah, I believe there is, at least there was. Hopefully it's still going on, but yeah, there's ongoing, or at least there was a training program specifically for people at big truck stops, you know, staff there, et cetera, so that they know what to look for. I also think we need some training sessions to tell people, you know, what to look for when they're voting this November as well, so that maybe we stop all of this human trafficking operation on our southern border in the first place.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Thank you, Aaron. That's what I wanted to say. What are the signs, some of the signs that we can look for?
No, that's a good reminder. Well, thanks so much for calling in. Since you asked, because this is the show where, hey, Montana gets to talk, where you get to talk, you get to be heard across Montana, and then you end up driving the conversation. And, you know, you never know what we're going to talk about here on this show. Let me look here and see. Let's see. During the 2023 legislative session, Attorney General Knutson's office helped write and pass House Bill 112, which increases the penalties for sex traffickers and patrons of sex trafficking. It also provides prosecutors with more tools to prosecute sex traffickers. Let me see. I think it says in. Oh, here we go. Potential indicators of sex trafficking may include a young person that is very hesitant to engage in conversation. Their eyes are always downcast, avoiding eye contact, especially with men. A poor physical state. They're tired, they're malnourished, or showing signs of physical abuse or torture. They seem to have trouble responding to what their name is or what location they are in, because the victim's names are often changed, as are their whereabouts. So they typically don't stay in one location for long, at times for 24 hours or less. Wearing clothes that do not fit the climate or the situation, such as short shorts or skirts, tank tops, and no jacket in the middle of winter. Lack of control over money, personal possessions like bags, IDs, or documents. May also be carrying very few possessions in a plastic bag. Here's some more signs of potential human trafficking. May be accompanied by a dominating person or someone they seem fearful of. That controlling person may also be someone who does not seem to fit, such as a much older individual, an individual of a different race, or with behavior seemingly inappropriate with the suspected victim. And then here's the last bullet point they have here. A young girl or boy hanging around outside a convenience store, truck stop, casino, or other location. They may be approaching different vehicles or men they do not seem to know. Okay, so what do you do then if you believe you witness the signs of human trafficking? If it's an emergency, call 911. Do not intervene if you see suspected traffickers. Remain at a safe distance or in your vehicle. In non-emergency situations, call or text 833-406-STOP. Or they have a live chat apparently at 406stop.com. When possible, take images with your cellular device of the suspected traffickers, the victims, the potential victims, and vehicle license plates as well. So anyway, yeah, thanks to Renee and Butte for asking that question. And like I say, DOJMT.gov. I just went to the Attorney General's website to pull up the answer to that very question that she just asked. A former justice on the Montana Supreme Court, this one just, I just saw this, this just caught my eye. You will not believe what this former justice on the Montana, well, maybe you will if you know how radical our Montana Supreme Court is. A former Supreme Court justice had some shocking comments when it came, when it comes to the attempted assassination of President Donald J. Trump. This is former Montana Supreme Court Justice James Nelson. He says, quote, Trump's chickens were finally coming home to roost. He's finally reaping what he had sown. Later, he says, no thoughts and prayers from me. Know that being shot at was the blowback from the bad karma. Wow. Not only did this left-wing former Montana Supreme Court justice say that, some liberal news website in Missoula thought, oh yeah, let's publish that. Let's print this. And these are the people that want to tell you that rhetoric is to blame for what's going on in this country right now.
Broadcasting live across the great state of Montana, powered by the Montana Electric Cooperative Association. Your Montana Electric Cooperative, they do much more than keep the lights on for you. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's jump right back into the phone lines. Oh, by the way, hat tip to Kyle Schmock via X for pointing out these outrageous remarks from former Montana Supreme Court Justice James Nelson. And he made another good point here, too, Kyle did, about the fact that why would anybody rely on this guy's here you go. Kyle added this. Our current Montana Supreme Court still upholds and refuses to reevaluate partisan hack job decisions that were authored by this violence endorsing nut. That's what Kyle Schmock had to say about former Justice James Nelson. All the more reason to get some normal people on the Montana Supreme Court, you know, like the Sons of Montana, Corey Swan's son, and Judge Dan Will's son. Skip in Hamilton, your thoughts? Thanks for the call.
And yes, sir, and that's exactly what I was calling in about. I appreciate you bringing it up and explaining to people how they can at least look at the ballot and know who these men are, because there's no R or D next to their name. But even lately, in our district court, it's like a disease that these judges seem to have. Even in our district courts, with problems having to do with, I call it CI 128, 20, and 27 and 26. But 128 in particular, our Secretary of State's office, putting up with a dilemma of having to check names on signatures on ballot issue applications, I guess is what you call them. And they're trying to go by the state statute as to how, whether that signature is okay or not. And even some of her lawyers that are in her command in her office are having to actually take the stand and explain why they are recognizing the statutes as they are written.
Yeah.
I watched some of it on TV. It's horrible. And it's because this legislating from the bench, one district court judge wanted to even call anybody that signs it, if they're a citizen, it must be okay, rather than a registered voter.
Yeah.
So that kind of thing. And if you could take off on that, because my guess is you know the cliff notes on it.
Well,
explain why it's important to have these two slots in our Supreme Court filled by two really good guys, especially the Supreme Court justice. was Corey Swanson.
That's right, the Chief Justice slot there. Yeah, no, you're exactly right. And I know we're short on time here, and I got more callers that I want to sneak on as well. But, no, the chaos and the craziness we are seeing at the national level with Kamala and Tester, you're seeing the same chaos and craziness here in Montana with a left-wing mob on the Montana Supreme Court. They ignore the law. They ignore the process. The Montana Secretary of State, Christy Jacobson, is working to follow the law and the Montana Constitution. And now you've got a 100% Planned Parenthood voting record judge in Helena ordering her to ignore the law and ignore the Constitution. By the way, Tim and Savage sent us a message following the Kamala Harris montage from earlier. Ban red meat, ban fracking, ban plastic straws, ban the filibuster. All in the name of democracy. Tim, thanks for that message. Let's see. Bob in Billings, thanks for the call. What's on your mind? Bob, are you there? Okay, I'm not hearing Bob. All right, let's go to Frank in Evergreen. Frank, what's on your mind?
Hi. Well, I was super really short on time here, but if they banned the filibuster, I'm sure Tester would make out with a fine equestrian cuisine restaurant in D.C., and you get the best Billy Burgers there. Anyway, I wouldn't eat one, but dang, he would. All right. You have a great one, man.
Okay. I thought you were going to say something about Lucas Schubert.
He's calling called me from Washington, D.C. He was stuck over there in the airport because of the Microsoft patch that failed and everything. They're still backed up for quite a bit, but he's with friends over there in a hotel while he's waiting.
Oh, wow. So he got caught up in that international travel nightmare. And yet, Ellie Boldman in Missoula, she wants Pete Buttigieg to be Kamala Harris's running mate. Again, fail upward. You fail at the Department of Transportation. Missoula Democrats want you to be the vice president. You fail as the vice president. They want you to be the president. Talk about failing upward. Well, hopefully Lucas Schubert makes it back from Washington, D.C. by Thursday because, you know, the Governor's Cup, the big Montana Chamber of Commerce event kicks off Thursday night. And then they have their golf tournament Friday and Saturday. But we're going to be broadcasting live Thursday morning from the Flathead. We're going to be at the Clubhouse Lounge and Indoor Golf Simulator. So if you want to get out of the smoke and practice your golf game before the cooler temperatures settle in by Friday, come down and join us on the microphone on Thursday at the Clubhouse Lounge. Going to be a great time. Taking the show back out on the road. So that's what would be Thursday. Tomorrow, man, who knows what other crazy news is going to develop in the next 24 hours. So we better keep it Semper Gumby for tomorrow.